here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On our show tonight, Andrew Chase, a Canadian journalist living in the United States, says he was humiliated at the U.S.-Canadian border by U.S. officers who asked to fingerprint him. He said, "Why should I be fingerprinted? I'm a Canadian." A little bit different from being, as he puts it, an Oriental. Also, Don Berman, Channel 19's news anchor, will be on to talk to us about a new report they're going to be doing on their 11 o'clock news. There is a direct correlation between bowling shoe size and a man's anatomy, and he thinks it's obscene that they publish your shoe size right on the back of the bowling shoe so everyone can see how large another part of your anatomy is, and he thinks it's sexually explicit, and they've devoted like a 15-part series to this. And, well, that's the Channel 19 news for you. So that'll be coming up tonight on our show as well. Just a little itsy-bitsy fat-ass update. Nothing heavy. Just wanted to tell you that it's correlated. Something I said a while back, that Michael Moore is well-known as someone who underpaid his staff and is not well-liked by the people that work for him. I told you this about a year ago. The guy is not liked by the people that work for him, and in point of fact is considered not only to be an idea thief. It's well known, for instance, in this city that he steals a lot of the ideas that he uses, but also that he screws his writers financially. He was accused of that, and he fired back that it was libel, but the writer who accused him of it, a man by the name of Daniel Radish at Salon.com, backs it up. He says, one writer remembered Moore telling him and a colleague that TV Nation, which was a television show that Moore was working on, could not afford two writers at guild rates, and that if you want to be in this union, only one of you can work here. Now, the writer took that as a warning, almost as a threat. Secondly, two of the writers, including co-executive producers Randy Cohen, recalled Moore's reluctance to give proper credits and make timely payments. Vito Terso, a spokesman for the Writers Guild, confirmed that on more than one occasion, writers came to the Guild for help in dealing with what they perceived as Moore's unfair treatment. Moore's friction with some of the show's writers and with Writers Guild was also reported in the November 4th, 1996 New York Magazine, which stated that the Guild had to arbitrate many complaints from TV Nation writers who hadn't received proper payment for their work. So it sounds like Fat Ass is keeping some of the, shall we say, some of the gravy for himself. Oh, excuse me, it's a food reference, but it sounds like he's skimming a little bit of the money for himself. Which I told you guys like a year ago, man. I mean, the word is out. This guy is, he's considered autocratic. He's considered abusive by some of his employees. And apparently he's a cheap creep to boot. And on top of everything else, all of his big talk about unions and unionizing, this dude was actually talking one of the writers into not joining the union. So that's just a little tiny fat-ass update. See, what we try to do is inject a little bit of truth in the middle of all, into the middle of all of the hysterical propaganda that is just flying around. Like, for instance, President Bush and everyone in Washington should screen Michael Moore's controversial anti-Bush film Fahrenheit 9/11, a group of military and 9/11 families said Wednesday. Now, this individual is Nancy Lesson of the group Military Families Speak Out, whose stepson is a Marine. Nobody's interviewing the stepson, of course. Marines, being pretty tough guys, don't want to have anything to do with this kind of falderal and tripe. But it doesn't keep your stepmom from going out and making a bonehead out of herself. What we want to say is how important Michael Moore's movie is in bringing back the ability to have a dialogue. Like there was ever any inability to have a dialogue about anything in this country. Just so happens some people have very strong opinions about things. You got to do a talk show. Try bringing up a subject on any radio talk show that isn't particularly popular. Watch what happens. You could get fired. There ain't nobody running around forming a group about that. Sometimes you say things people don't like, and they're going to respond in kind. They will say, well, I don't like what you just said, and here's my opinion about that. That is taken to mean there's no dialogue in America, because everybody isn't just lockstep, nailed to the floor in favor of your particular point of view. You know, it just so happens to be that a lot of Americans were passionate, they were moved in a certain direction by the events of 9/11 and the subsequent Iraq War, and they felt like talking about it that way. So that when a guy like Tim Robbins gets up in front of a microphone, and his speech is carried by every news agency on the planet Earth, a few on Mars, and some on substations well out into Deep Space Nine, he considers it censorship, that he can't say what he wants to say whenever he wants to say it, however he wants to say it, and to whoever he wants to say it. Well, excuse me, man, we didn't have the Sri Lankan broadcasting system there. I guess you're being censored. So like I said, just a small fat ass update. Meanwhile, the most recent attempts at planting a virus in my computer. All right. Yes, it never ends here at the Phil Hendry Show. I have a work computer, as many of you do. And every day I come in and I rub my hands together and I log on and I go, I wonder what jackass is going to try to send a virus through my email. And there it is. Every day. Now, I don't tell you about it every day because much of it comes from the same guy, Barry H. at, what is it, Janice? VMRestoration.com, I believe it is. Right? Or VH Restoration. So, Barry H. at VMRestoration.com, which naturally is some phony baloney email address, but I went ahead and responded to it anyway. I didn't open it, I just responded to the, because it has all these attachments. And I said, you turd. I haven't opened up any of your attachments. I simply delete your email. I just want to know, what shred of a life do you have, man? I mean, anything. Do you play cards? Have you tried solitaire? Have you tried, well, self-abuse? Anything. Here's one that I got today. I guess the Barry H. and the Sandy emails are not working, so they sent one today, Jay Gutierrez. So they're getting a little more ethnic now. In the hopes that maybe what I'm going to, my white man guilt's going to kick in. Well, I better open up this one. It's from Jay Gutierrez. Regarding information. Aha. Yes, the information. Then I got one today. It said from, I think it was Barry H. or Jackass B. or something. And it said, the heading was, why are you avoiding it? Oh, I'm just so curious to open that up and find out what's in there. Here's another one that I got from Don Kit. You're a bad writer. Another one from Jam. Question. And then I keep getting these from the same Barry H. Protected message site change. Protected message site change. First of all, the guy that works on my site ain't named Barry. And if he wanted to tell me about a site change, he doesn't have to have it in an attachment. And so on and so forth. The Jay Gutierrez one, though, did send a shock of fear through me. I'm going to have to... Then I got another one, because maybe they know me better than I realize they do. It said, bubble butt, have you seen these pictures? I'm thinking, well, I really want to open. No, I better not. Then I got another one for Gloria Allred says you're a schmuck, and I want it. No, I better not open that either. And I don't know if you guys are getting it. Then I got one, Ellen and Scooby, something about you. With the attachment. And with each attachment is another attachment, and the assurance, as I've mentioned to you, it's been in there, with the assurance, no virus found. Ah, okay. Like I'm sending this stuff off to some central laboratory. You know they say, send off the virus and we'll figure it out for you some job? I don't do that, man. I got the, it scans it, I quarantine, I get rid of whatever the hell, right? But I haven't had a virus problem in months. And do you detect that maybe we're getting a handle on this? I mean, just as a, I understand it slows the email traffic a little bit, and there are some people who are thick enough to open this stuff up. Then one day I got a slew of emails from people who had visited a similar site to mine, one that I go to a lot, a news site that I go to a lot. And it was a slew of emails saying, yeah, this is how viruses are sent. It seemed like somebody sent out a general mailer to everybody who had been nailed by some virus. But it wasn't me. And I didn't open up any of those either, and I deleted all of those. I guess I'm just such a smart boy. Yeah, real good, Phil. Boy, if I had any other talent for any other thing. Hey, I know how to recognize virus, just don't open it up and everything. And that's very good, Phil. Good for you. Now here's your pudding cup. There you go. And put on the ski cap because it's cold out. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight of the Phil Hendry Show, Andrew Chase. Are Canadians... just like Americans, why should they be fingerprinted at the border? Sure, Mexicans. Sure, Africans. Even some Europeans. But Canadians? That's an insult to fingerprint those cats at the border. And Don Berman, why are we showing the shoe size on the back of bowling shoes? Don't you know that correlates to the size of a certain part of a man's anatomy, another part of his anatomy? And isn't that sexually explicit? It's all coming up. That's part of his big news expose anyway. It's coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show at our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Hey, Janice, what about the mailbag from last night? You still got that? So we'll do that tonight as well. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I didn't see this. That brief glimpse of Janet Jackson's breast during the Super Bowl could cost 20 television stations owned by Viacom, which is CBS, a total of 550 Gs. Flooded with complaints, the FCC has proposed that commissioners fine Viacom's 20 CBS television stations 27 Gs each for a total of 550 grand. Huh. What about that? Now, why would they fine the TV stations? Can they not fine the network, or is the network not a broadcast entity per se, but is simply providing material for the license holder, which is in fact the... Yeah, I think that's how it works. See, the license holder is the television station. CBS Inc., or CBS, is simply a program supplier. It's understood that if you're a station owned by CBS, you will carry every single solitary thing that CBS produces, all the good, all the bad, and everything in between, most of it bad. And for that wonderful blessing, you get to, you know, whatever you get your ad, you know, your ad money. And so, but because you are forced into carrying the programming material that Viacom CBS provides for you, you have to also carry, you know, all of their mistakes, which one of them was the Janet Jackson thing. There's a lot of people talking about, I don't understand why one little flash of a breast causes all of this problem, and yet we're in Iraq killing billions and gazillions and trillions of babies and elderly women.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you're right. If we were actually doing that, you'd probably...
I just don't get it. Big deal.
Well, you're right, Grandma. Only problem is, I don't care whether Janet Jackson showed... I would have preferred she'd shown something else, to be honest with you, being a man partial to the backside of a woman as opposed to the front. That's just me. Because I don't particularly think she's all that hot. I know there are a lot of guys do. However, that having been said, it doesn't bother me. What bothers me as a radio broadcaster, my industry got nailed back in March by the FCC after Janet Jackson did her stunt. And meanwhile, the guys that run CBS are running around with their big freaking turd-eating grins talking about all the ad rates they're jacking. Yeah, we're making all kinds of money this year. Yahoo! All right, man. We're making big dough. Like, we don't care. It ain't us. It's the TV stations. Meanwhile, the little guys are the guys that are taking in the shorts, you know, the station. Well, there ain't no little guy at the CBS O&Os because the guys that own it are over in New York. But let's talk about a guy who's just a Joe Schmo TV guy. And he signs a deal with CBS to carry its crap can shows, right? Like Joan of Arcadia and some of the other great ones. Anyway, now I show Janet Jackson flashing and Justin Timberlake looking like he's almost straight staring at it, and suddenly it becomes
contretemps.
A contretemps. Thank you, bud. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Andrew Chase is on tonight on why Canadians have to be fingerprinted at the border. Why Canadians, they're almost American. Almost. Don Berman, Channel 19's anchor, on an expose showing the direct correlation between bowling shoe size and a man's anatomy. Here is Hill. Hello, Hill.
Yeah, I'm right here.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
Good, man. You'll be on with Mr. Hendry in just a moment, all right?
You got it.
Stand by, please.
Sure.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, Phil's he's running behind.
Is Phil running behind?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on, man. I'll put you on hold, all right?
Okay.
It was yesterday.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Please stand by.
A while to see the show. I knew that frenzy meant please love me.
By now, you realize we're putting you on, Hill, because I hear you turned your radio up, you jackass.
I had some Caballero card.
Okay, you there, man?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, so what's up?
Well, you know, I was listening to your show, and I was listening to ranting and raving about, the email situation, and I thought I would call in and give you a little more information on that as I'm a systems administrator.
Oh, you mean you're a systems administrator, which
yes.
Means you're the guy that reviews all the email that comes in and out and all of this?
Well, a system administrator, that would be a network administrator.
I got you.
I'm sort of more of the nuts and bolts aspect.
For some company out there.
I work for some company out there.
Well, I don't want to say which one, because I don't want to compromise your anonymity, as it were. Unless
no,
you want to tell
okay.
me, what's the name of your company?
It's called the Physicians and Surgeons Network.
Okay, cool. So you're looking at all the disgusting email they send each other.
Actually, you know, that would be fun. It's just a little more dry than that.
All right. So tell me, I get these attachments every day. They're obvious attempts to implant a virus somehow into the system.
Right.
This Barry H. at VMRestoration.com. Tell me, what is that email address, actually?
So let me tell you how this works, okay? And this basically works for spam as well as these viruses that they send around.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way email works on the Internet is if you're a quote-unquote hacker, and most of the hackers do this for spam, but you can do it for viruses as well. In order to actually send you something, you know, they have to hack into an exchange server, which is a computer, a server that handles email.
Right.
And they get in through an open port because somebody isn't doing their job, and that port was open. They get in. And they get all the email addresses that server is handling, and then they use those email addresses to send what would essentially be legitimate emails.
Let me ask you a question. So I understand how it works, Hill. I appreciate it. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
We have a lot of discussion these days about protecting our rights on the Internet. You know, the Patriot Act now allows them to, it allows them the rights to look at email the same way the government has had the right to listen into phone conversations when they get a court order. But now it seems that people don't want us to do it. You know how it works, and you know how these guys can hide. You know how, like, a hacker or somebody much more serious, like a terrorist or someone trying to use the Internet, and they hide behind these hacked addresses. Don't you think, A, isn't it proper that we try to flush these guys out, but B, aren't we able to do it? I mean, we got the technology to figure out who these clowns are, don't we?
Well, it really comes down to what technology the clowns have available to them. There are encryption machines or encryption software that, you know, the government can you know, intercept that all day long, and, you know, in 100,000 years they might have broken it. You know, so if you're using encryption software, it's pointless for the various government programs like Raptor and a couple of other ones that basically are they scan mass amounts of data looking for keys.
Right. It's now I don't know what you're saying. And you know your business, but I'm like the average computer user in this country. It's gone beyond my ability to understand.
If you, first of all, A, you don't speak Farsi or Arabic, so you're not high on their list of
cats that are going to be looked at.
Right. So, but, you know, just for purposes of a simple example, you know, Raptor, you know, or Carnivore, actually, it's called, for telephones right now, we're speaking to each other on the phone, and if I say words like nuclear bomb Tuesday, New York, you know, those are conceivably keywords that Carnivore might pick up. And what it's going to do is it will save this conversation for an agent or somebody to listen to.
That's really interesting. I had a kid from Canada call about a month ago and said he wanted to, or he would kill George Bush. This is what this kid said. And I haven't heard anything. He said he'd kill George Bush. Thanks very much, Hill, for your call. And have we heard anything about that? We knew that the FBI took it over, and I think we even gave it over to the Secret Service, and I even called up a couple of Girl Scouts I knew. And nothing. I ain't heard diddly squat, but if I say nuclear bomb Tuesday, and I'm actually referring to a movie I saw. Anyway, 1-800-449, or any show I've done, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to go to our mailbag in a minute. And coming up in the show this evening, Andrew Chase, a Canadian journalist who's now residing in the United States. But to get here, he had to go across the border of Vancouver, and he was fingerprinted. He found that humiliating. Why? Me, a Canadian. A Canadian? I'm almost an American. Why are you fingerprinting me? Don Berman from Channel 19, news anchor on a new expose they're doing, sexually explicit materials in places you wouldn't think to find them, like bowling alleys. Why are they putting the size of your shoe on the back of the shoe you're wearing? That correlates, according to Mr. Berman, to another part of a man's anatomy. It is intrusive, and it humiliates not only the man wearing the shoe, if it happens to be, say, a size 5, it also intrudes on the privacy of others who may not want to know about your size 5 shoe, that is. 1-800-449-8686. This is very important news. I want you to hear this. Two companies affiliated with the raunchy Howard Stern show filed a lawsuit seeking more than $10 million against Clear Channel Communications on Wednesday, accusing the nation's largest radio station owner of breaking contracts to air the shock jock in 6 cities. Now, let me explain 2 things. A, while it is not ordinarily acceptable to mention the names of competing air personalities on anybody's show, I mention Howard Stern's name because, as I've said before, he transcends all broadcasters from the standpoint that he virtually invented the so-called morning zoo format. He invented a new way of doing morning radio and also was instrumental in breaking down so many of the barriers to speech that existed in radio. He is a seminal figure in our business, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he doesn't exist, like some simpletons would have me do, or some people would do. It's ridiculous. It's like me saying, I can't mention Alexander Graham Bell because I work for, you know, the Jamaica phone company. Well, who invented the phone? A guy. Well, who was it? It's a guy. What guy? A guy up there, you know, with a big mutton chops. What's his name? I can't tell you, but it sounds like ring. Ring? No. Ring. Ding. No, you idiot. Just tell me his name. I can't say it because it's a competing guy. His middle name is like a cracker. Saltine. Saltine Ring? What do you mean, Saltine Ring? What's his first name? Well, you can call me Al. You can call me Al Saltine Ring. Okay, thank you. Number 2, the reason why I mention this, Clear Channel Communications is the company that I work for. And while they have treated me very well, it still is important for me to make comment on any public move that my company makes that is newsworthy, and certainly it's important when it comes to the dealing with speech on the radio. I don't take it lightly, and I don't care how big a company is. I am a 31-year broadcast veteran. I will speak out. I've earned the stripes. Believe me. And I have not only earned them from the standpoint of my time in the business, but the kind of radio show that I do, which is entirely unique, doesn't rip anybody off. And I don't make any bones about the show we do, man. This is a show, basically, that is a satirical show, a comedy show. And when I comment on stuff, you can believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not out here to try to get anybody to vote, to change the world. Nothing, man. It's just my feelings on things. And kind of the way I'm just, you know, how I feel and how I feel myself. I mean, not how I feel myself, but how it feels. But, what's his name again? Alexander Graham Bell. Thank you. Clear Channel, facing complaints from federal regulators for indecent antics of disc jockeys, dropped Stern in February from stations in Florida, California, Pennsylvania, New York, and Kentucky. Now, the suit was filed by the two companies that license his show. One of them is Infinity Broadcasting East, and the other is a company called 112, which is described as the company that provides Howard Stern services. I would imagine that's a company owned by Howard himself and is his company, in point of fact, is his company that is providing him, more or less. In the suit against Clear Channel, Infinity and 112 accused the company of wrongfully failing to notify the show, to notify them that the show is being dropped as required by the contracts. They must be notified, according to these individuals, before the show is dropped. They say that this is contractually stipulated. They also charge that they're owed some licensing fees. Now, the response from a Clear Channel executive by the name of Andy Levin is one that I find ridiculous, and yet one that will probably be swallowed by the public because the public doesn't understand how FCC, how broadcast law works. This man, Mr. Levin, is described as an executive vice president and a chief legal officer with the company. Howard Stern is the only one who has broken the law, says Mr. Levin. His contract explicitly required his show comply with all FCC rules and regulations. On several occasions, it clearly did not. Clear Channel had both a legal right and an obligation to stop broadcasting it. Now, Mr. Levin makes the mistake that a lot of radio executives make. He says something slanderous. Now, let me repeat that. He says something slanderous and assumes that it's simply going to be kind of swept under the rug because it's a bullying tactic that is pretty traditional in my business, folks. He has stated that this man has broken the law, and yet he cannot, I happen to know, that he cannot cite how the law has been broken. I understand there's FCC rules and regulations about speech. It is not clear, however, that the FCC has any legal right to regulate speech. They can have rules and regulations. I got rules and regulations. I got a rule and a regulation. You want to hear what it is? Al-Qaeda, they should all die of cancer to the eyes. There's my rule and regulation. You think it's going to happen? Oh, it ain't? Well, what about my rule and regulation? Well, what right do you have, Henry? Exactly. What right do I have? The FCC has a right to regulate the broadcast position on the dial, regulate broadcast power. There's nothing in the law that says they have the right to regulate speech. Mr. Levin says that Mr. Stern's broken the law. That's a slanderous comment. Because it's not true. His contract explicitly required his show comply with all FCC rules and regulations. Now, the problem that he's got there is that while Howard Stern's show was being carried by Clear Channel stations, and he was broadcasting the so-called content that wasn't, quote, complying with the law, end quote, the company that I work for, Clear Channel, didn't do anything about it. They didn't do anything about it. They allowed that broadcast to continue. They established a pattern of accepting the radio show of Howard Stern until somebody spanked them in Washington, D.C. Understand the things that I'm saying right now, you guys. I don't say them easily because I'm talking about the company that I work for. And I owe them the fact that I work for them. They also owe me a paycheck. But the fact is, it's not easy for me to say this stuff because I have no idea how to respond to it. I mean, they may not care, or they may call you on a carpet tomorrow and say you're no longer allowed to talk about anybody in this company. I mean, all of these things can happen. So it's not an easy thing for me to sit here and point out, but it's my business. Do you understand? If you're a doctor, if you're a framing carpenter, if you're a water deliverer, and they are making rules and regulations that will directly affect your ability to make a living. And not only that, these rules and regulations have become newsworthy. They're being published in newspapers that the commentary and the crosstalk is going on about your business, right? And you're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to comment on it. You're not allowed to discuss it with coworkers or even talk about it with your wife or talk about it at a 4th of July party. That would be untenable, right? I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about a business that I've given my blood, sweat, and tears to because I might piss off somebody who describes himself as a chief legal officer. I don't know. What does that mean? Is he a lawyer? If he's a lawyer, I think he's got some lawyering to do because I think he has some things he's got to prove. And when you say a man has broken the law, that's some pretty strong language. I get a little tired, ladies and gentlemen, just from this standpoint. Over the years, like all of you, I've had to deal with bosses, and many of them have been stand-up guys, men and women. A lot of them have been bullies. I don't like bullies. Never have, and I never will. I don't like people sticking their finger in my face and telling me how it's going to be. I have a lot of respect for myself. I work my ass off at what I do. I've got a great deal of professional pride. I don't need some punk face executive sticking his finger in my face and telling me how it's going to be. And I don't particularly like it when I see people doing it to other people in my business, big or little. I talked to a bunch of kids in Atlanta last summer at the morning show boot camp. These were all morning shows, radio morning shows in Atlanta to sit and talk and exchange ideas. I just loved every last one of these guys that I talked to. I was hanging out in the bar with them. I addressed the group And they're all people that face the same thing, trying to put an entertaining product on the air, relating to their audience, and at the same time, sometimes dealing with someone in a position of power, an executive, who's an utter imbecile, an utter raving imbecile. And it doesn't make life very easy. Now, I'm not going to keep going on and on about this other than to say, sometimes you got to stand up and prove your case a little bit. And when the FCC says that they have the right to regulate speech, I think somebody ought to make them prove it. So far, my industry has not shown the temerity or the courage to prove that the sun rises in the east, let alone prove that the FCC has a right to regulate speech. That's number one. And number two, you got to watch it when you say a man breaks the law. That's almost a slanderous comment. Or libelous, or however they call it. I'm not a lawyer. He is. He could tell me. Only he said it. Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, our mailbag. And then later on, Andrew Chase on why he has to be fingerprinted when he's a Canadian. Why he's almost as good as an American. Not quite, but almost. Don Berman and the expose on shoe size and something else's size. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Hendry Show is back.
Been doing it for 31 years. Who cares? You'll be in the radio business 5 more minutes.
I'm back on the air.
What?
I'm back on the air.
Good. I hope your listeners hear this. You listen to me and you listen real good. Now, you got on the air and you ripped Clear Channel an ass for taking off the Howard Stern Show. Now I...
Howard Stern. Howard Stern.
The Howard Stern Show. Now,
what are there dogs?
I'm getting my dog groomed. I'm listening to this in my car. I'm driving over here to get the poodle cut because it's a dog show this weekend. Now,
what, you got a poodle in a dog show?
Don't talk to me about my personal hobbies. Take back what you said.
About what?
About him slandering, what's his name?
What do you mean, 11 slandering him?
Yes, take it back.
I will not take it back.
Take it back. I'm standing here in the middle of dog poodle trimmings. I got some fag in a pink smock saying,
you want it to have cut back for the summer cut or keep his winter coat on?
And you are trying to...
Get out of here!
Okay.
Oh, my God! It's time now for our mailbag. Interesting emails sent to phs at philhendryshow.com. Dear Phil, great show as always. Michael Moore is not only making millions from the war in Iraq, Fahrenheit 9/11, but he also has made millions from gun violence in America, Bowling for Columbine, and millions more thanks to the misfortune of the people in Flint, Michigan, Roger and me. You know if he's ever donated any of the money he made from these flicks to help the people of Flint, gun violence victims, or any of the victims of the war in Iraq? He's a motherless bastard. Thanks, Joe, BS pass holder. I believe he claims, sir, that he gives away about a third of his income, which, if it can be proved like any of the other things that Michael Moore says he's done or that other people have done, probably can't be proved at all. And, quite frankly, is probably an unmitigated lie. But it sounds good. Phil, I bet you're real proud of your boy Bush over there in Europe and Turkey kissing everyone's ass as he tries to bail himself out. Looks like he's sinking fast. I remember you gloating about how France, Germany, Turkey, etc. would come begging for a chance to jump on his gravy train once Iraq was done. Richard Laughlin. I don't know. It seems to me they are. Because right now they just passed the administration of the country over to the Iraqi people themselves. Saddam Hussein is going to be put on trial for war crimes. Nothing's really been derailed. And yeah, sooner or later, France and Germany and Turkey are all going to come begging for a chance to jump on the gravy train. As a matter of fact, Richard, I don't know whether you read newspapers or not, they already have.
France has asked for a piece of the rebuilding contracting, as has Germany, as has Turkey, as has Canada, as has everybody. Don't you remember? Everyone was bitching when Bush said only the countries that helped us there would get the first crack at it. That was the big scandal. That was the big unfair President Bush part 63. Blow it out your rear end, Richard. Dear Mr. Henry, I just got married a couple of weeks ago. Despite this fact, I refuse to end my relationship with you. Every weeknight, I sneak off to my bathroom to do a little bedtime grooming. After about 45 minutes, I'll hear my husband yelling from the other end of the house, "Hey, are you listening to your boyfriend again?" Anyhow, I love my husband, but I love you too. Thank you for the affair. And thank God for those cushioned toilet seats. Jenny A. Did she send a picture, man? Why didn't I see it?
I believe it's because it was of their wedding, and for to be our all female listeners, it's just to be the female of West.
Well, we can put it in a scrapbook or something, maybe.
Certainly, we can.
Yeah, certainly we can. Thank you, Janice, so much. All right. Friday night, after some shopping at my hometown mall, I walked out to the parking lot to find a 3-inch scratch on the door to my 96 Camaro. At first, I was mad, but as I drove home, I thought to myself, who did I piss off? After listening to your Thursday night show on the internet, one thing can be sure, I didn't piss Bobby Dooley off, because she starts her cut at the front bumper and finishes on the hood. Man, that bitch is psycho. Jeff from Reading, Pennsylvania. Yeah, no kidding. She does a couple of loop-de-loops on the rear panel, too. Phil, you said about the troops, they believe in their mission, they honor their mission. Troops follow orders. Many of them have spoken out and said they do not believe or honor their mission in Iraq. Come on, Corey. Not many of them, Corey. A few, and they're all Army, and they're all that new Army who got, inducted or recruited so that they could learn how to punch cash register buttons. I'm talking about the ones that are doing the fighting. And yes, they do believe in their mission, and they do honor their mission. If you know anything about soldiers, okay, and I'm talking about soldiers that are actually committed to their profession, yeah, they do believe in their mission, okay? Otherwise, they're Army. I'm joking around with you. One more. Hey, Phil, I know you're probably not a soccer fan, but after listening to you berate the U.S. basketball players for being pussies about the security concerns in Athens, I couldn't help thinking about the current Euro 2004 tournament being played right now in Portugal. You're absolutely right. These so-called bad boys, our basketball league, they owe it to our country to go and represent us despite the danger of terrorist attack. Yes, I'm sure the danger of terrorist attack in Portugal right now is just as significant as the Olympics, but I haven't heard any of the soccer stars complaining in Portugal at this time, not even David Beckham. And this tournament's about as big as the World Cup. I think these overpaid lunkheads ought to get up off their asses and get the hell to Greece. George Bush. All right, thanks. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Andrew Chase.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Andrew Chase joins us. Andrew's been on the program before. He's a writer, a columnist, read in some 75 American papers. He's the primary correspondent for the North American Daily, the largest alternative newspaper circulating in the United States. He has seen Fahrenheit 9/11. He's here today to review it for us. And Andrew, you know my position on this film. What is your take on it?
Disagree with you on the film. It's the real first cataloging of how our rights are being stripped from us by the American government and how we're being lied to by the American government over and over again. Now, here's an example of the real repressive atmosphere that exists today. I was traveling by car when I first came to the United States, because I'm a Canadian citizen. I came across the Canadian border at what is called Peace Arch from Vancouver to Bellingham, Washington.
Now, I'm having a hard time hearing you, Andrew. If you could just maybe speak up a little bit.
I said I came over the border at what is called the Peace Arch from Vancouver to Bellingham, Washington. I was told to enter the customs office there at the border, where I was then asked to present all of my identification, car ownership, my work permits. I was asked where I was going, the address I would be living at. I was asked for proof. But the real humiliation came when they asked me to step around the counter there, and I was then fingerprinted. I was fingerprinted as if I were under arrest, as if I was under suspicion for something. And I actually said to the U.S. officer there, what do you want next? Do you want my blood? So what Michael Moore's film is showing us, I think, and to some extent what the Patriot Act has done, it stripped the basic constitutional rights from us as citizens, and we are...
Now, you are a Canadian.
I'm a Canadian citizen, yes.
So, when you say your rights are being stripped away from you, which, by the way, I just lost the connection to the server here, guys, once again. Just a little technical glitch here. You're a Canadian.
Canadian citizen, right.
And so you say you get your rights stripped away... I'm not sure I understand this, but you're speaking basically about the humiliation.
Well, it goes against everything that the Constitution stands for. You're referring to the fact that I'm a Canadian.
Yes.
I'm a Canadian, but you have to understand we've been longtime neighbors and partners to the North. And there's an understood transnationalism between America and Canada, and it violates my constitutional rights.
But you were not a citizen or a resident, so what constitutional rights do you think it was violating?
Canadians, even though they aren't Americans, have the same rights as Americans because of the fact that we are like you. We are the same. And
look, you don't want to be fingerprinted, but the fact is Mexicans are fingerprinted, Asians are fingerprinted, people coming from Africa are fingerprinted.
But you have to understand the difference, you see. If you see
what is the difference?
Well, if you see me in a restaurant or any other setting, you would think I'm an American. But you would think I'm an American because I'm a Canadian. But these other fellows you just mentioned, these, whether they be Mexican or the Chinese or... the individuals from Botswana. I'm not coming here on a boat. I drive here. I gassed up at a Chevron in Vancouver. I got gas in Seattle at a Chevron, you see.
So you feel there's a fundamental difference between a Canadian and any other foreigner?
Well, there certainly not only is a fundamental difference to being a Canadian than any other foreigner, but if you look at our ethnic breakdown in Canada, we're predominantly white and Christian. We play baseball, football, albeit you were three downs instead of four. We're the same people.
But you're still a citizen of another country.
Well, but what you're doing now, Phil, you're engaging in profiling, which is not something that makes this country respected. It makes us the bully.
How am I profiling you? You're not a citizen of the United States. How's that profiling you?
But I'm a Canadian citizen. You're fingerprinting me. I understand the...
Okay. You're a Canadian. You don't want to be fingerprinted at the border, but you think Mexicans and others...
I can understand the risk in allowing some Mexican nationals into your car. I understand the hesitation one might feel when admitting a resident from these countries, the African continent, one of these Orientals. But I'm a Canadian. A Canadian for many Americans is no different from saying, hello, I'm Andrew and I come from Vermont or Maine or Minnesota. And to fingerprint me is profiling me or racist. And
how is it racist? I mean, I can understand. If you want to go down the profiling road...
You're profiling me as a terrorist and I'm a Canadian. I don't know how that started. But Canadians have always had access to the United States, and to be fingerprinted now when we come across the border to be employees of a company to work is to say that you're now just like a Mexican or an Oriental or an African or a European. And
well, because you live in another country, in a country that is beyond the borders of the United States... You know, I get what you're saying about the traditional transnationalism between our countries.
Well, this is my point. And when we're standing at the customs house in Bellingham, Washington, and they tell me that I have to be fingerprinted, it is profiling and it is offensive, and standing behind me might be an individual who is from another country, a Chinaman, a Mexican, or this... And yet you still want to fingerprint me?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This Canadian doesn't think he should be fingerprinted at the border between Canada and the United States because of the transnationalism that traditionally exists between our countries. His name is Andrew Chase, and he is a Canadian. You're living here in the United States?
I'm living in the United States now, working on two different articles and a couple of books, and I've also been writing freelance for the Los Angeles, springing for the Los Angeles Times and some other papers.
Michael Moore's movie talks about the America is the ultimate evil, the ultimate terrorist. Do you agree with that?
I do, yes. I absolutely do. America has done more, I think, than any other entity to frighten, I think, and to destabilize, frighten people and destabilize governments. Understand that America at one time was seen as the hope of the world, and now it is seen as a place that is a police state. Nothing different, really, than from Stalinist Russia.
Okay, let me interrupt you. If it's a police state, you're not a citizen, and why are you living here?
I would leave in a heartbeat. I really would, Phil. I would leave immediately.
What is keeping you here? Your job? You get a job in Canada.
I have met a young lady. We've purchased some property out in Rancho Mirage. But I would leave in a heartbeat. And you would say, well, that's hypocritical of me. And I would say,
yes, I would. I would say that's hypocritical of you.
And I would respond to you, it's not hypocritical when you fall in love with a young lady and you have agreed to move in, and we have purchased some property, yes, in the Rancho Mirage area of California. While living in the United States, I don't have to enjoy living here, and can in fact recognize that I'm living in a hell of police state activity and insult to Canadian nationals who wish to come here, work peacefully, and are terrorized by border guards who are...
Are you telling me you're terrorized by border guards who are asking you to put your thumbprint into some ink? That you are being terrorized?
I am telling you that as a Canadian citizen who has traditionally had free access to the American marketplace, to be treated as if I'm a Mexican, and I've got nothing against the Mexican people. I spend many times and vacation times in Mexico, and I have nothing against them. And what I've said, I recognize, makes it sound as if I feel I'm better than them, and I don't.
Well, it sounds like that to me.
Well, if you will allow me to finish what I'm saying, sir. If you'll allow me to finish what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to say that the Mexicans are not as good as me. I'm simply saying that the traditional relationship that America has had with Canada and the traditional relationship America has had with Mexico are two distinctly different relationships. Canadians have been allowed to come into the United States and to work in jobs and professions that are similar to individuals who, for instance, manage companies. Mexicans have traditionally been allowed into the United States to do jobs that are similar to those who would be considered the laborers or the people who clean up. I was incredibly embarrassed while being fingerprinted because over in another line was a Philippine woman paying duty on some sheets that she'd purchased. Now, how does that look? It's no good. To me, as a Canadian, to be treated like I'm nothing more than a brown skin.
All right, now hold on for just a second because I want to take a break. And I want to get a little bit of what he is saying under control. His name is Andrew Chase. He's a Canadian living in the United States, a writer who, in order to get his residence recorded, had to be fingerprinted at the border. This is happening to just about anybody that comes to the United States to reside. You get fingerprinted. And by the way, this is not something that happened after 9/11. It's been happening all along. He doesn't want to be fingerprinted. He's a Canadian. He comes from a country that traditionally has had a better relationship with America than, say, Mexico. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tell me again, I'm with Andrew Chase, a Canadian writer living in the United States. You feel you were humiliated at the American border by being asked for your fingerprints because Canadians should have some sort of exempt status, and I'm trying to get to the heart of what you mean by that, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chase, I'm not understanding. Can you tell, where are you from originally?
Originally from a little town called Owen Sound in Ontario, Northern Ontario, but started my journalism career in Toronto. And have worked in the United States now for the last 18 months.
And you're working for this alternative newspaper. When you were fingerprinted at the border, you saw other people coming from other countries being fingerprinted?
Well, again, the point that you're trying to make is not applicable to what we're speaking of. Understand, Phil, that as a Canadian, I do have a natural fear of or a misunderstanding of people of color, because we do not have in our country a large number of ethnic minorities, such as you do in the United States. Having said that, I still feel that we have had a unique relationship with the United States that transcends, to use your word, the relationship that you might have had traditionally with Guatemala, or, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here.
I mean,
look at it on the face. Are you trying to tell me that Canadians are the same as Guatemalans? Of course you're not. I don't think any American would. Why would you treat me as if I'm a washerwoman from Guatemala?
Well, sir, I think what you're saying now is bordering on a little bit of racism.
How so?
How so? You're a washerwoman from Guatemala?
No, I'm saying, why would you treat me?
Well, I'm not. Not everybody from Guatemala is a washerwoman. Perhaps there are doctors, and perhaps there are scientists.
Oh, doctors, oh, scientists. There are more scientists coming from Canada and helping in the good work of the United States as good Americans.
Well, they may be good people, but they're not good Americans. They're good Canadians. 1-800-449-8686. Robin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Andrew Chase. Robin?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Thank you. You know, Andrew, you're a Canadian. I live in Rancho Mirage. Andrew.
I've just purchased property out there.
Good for you, but you know what? I'm an American. If you want to be an American,
and I'm an American too. I'm an American too.
No, you're not. You're a North American.
I'm a Canadian of American birth. I'm an American of Canadian birth.
We have terrorists trying to come across your border. It was so damn easy.
Oh, that's an old wives' tale.
That's an old one.
An old wives' tale. That is something that the federal authorities have never been able to establish.
Oh, that's hogwash. They knew those guys were up in Canada when they came down from Maine. Are you nuts?
I don't think so. Wasn't there a very astute American patrol person that was up, the border patrol lady?
Yes. New Year's Eve 1999, there was a lady who stopped a terrorist from coming into the United States with bombs.
Okay.
Well, but that was a Canadian.
No, it was not. It was an American.
Why would we want you coming across?
There's a reason I was given a work visa. It's because I can do a job that an American cannot do. So why on earth would a...
You're so into becoming an American, go to school, live here for 5 or 10 years, and take a test. Don't just expect to be an American, or American of the United States of America, because you live in Canada.
Andrew, here's an idea for you. If you come to the United States, why don't you take a job picking vegetables?
Because that's what traditionally Mexicans have done. And to treat me as if I'm a Mexican belies the relationship your country has had with the United States.
All right, Robin, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, because that's what Mexicans traditionally have done.
And I know you're going to try to paint me as a racist, and I'm not. I'm a Canadian. Canadians have long stood for the equal rights of all people. And it's not that we stand for their equal rights. And
you just don't want to be considered one of them.
No, sir, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Here is Johan on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Johan.
Yes, I just want to tell this man that he's missing the point totally here. I mean, the reason why they're guarding and taking fingerprints is because of this 9/11. They might as just well be a terrorist as everyone else.
I'm
not an American citizen, buddy. That's why. I'm not one either. I'm from South Africa. And
I'm a Canadian. I'm a Canadian.
I don't think you've ever been around the world. I think you've just been in your little Canadian world. That's all you know.
Wait just a second there, my friend, because Canada has always been a friend to America. And
if you've been around the States, everyone would tell you that the Americans take the Canadian and the Canadian take the American.
That's hogwash. And I'll tell you why it's hogwash. The Canadians in World War II stood shoulder to shoulder with the Americans, and what did we get in return? People making jokes about how sexually frigid our women are and this kind of thing.
Why do you think you were better than the Mexicans? Why are you an exception? Why don't you have to get fingerprinted?
Well, look, you came from South Africa, right?
Yes.
In that country, who did all of the lettuce picking? All of the dark ones.
You say you're not a racist, but you keep coming out with some...
I'm not a racist, no, sir.
Well, you keep coming out with some pretty offensive crap. who picked the lettuce down in South Africa, the dark ones. And you don't want to be considered like a Filipino lady who was buying sheets.
Johan says he's from South Africa. Is that correct, sir? Okay. All right. He's a little slow. That's different. Canada is like Montana. Do you understand what I'm saying, Johan?
No, I don't.
All right. Where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yes, sir. Where are you in America or are you in South Africa right now?
No, I'm in America right now.
Okay, what part of America?
I'm driving through Atlanta.
Oh, my God. I've often wanted to visit Atlanta. How I've often wanted to go there. Is it a beautiful city?
Yeah, it's a fairly beautiful city.
I'll tell you right now, a group of Canadians will put more money into the American economy than a group of some of the, for instance, with no offense intended, a group of some of your South African individuals. And
well, you know what? I don't know that that's true. I don't know if you cats are coming down here with any kind of change at all, man. And I certainly think that if you want to come to the United States, unfortunately, these days, you're going to have to get fingerprinted like everybody else. And
I don't show up at the border with a basket on my head like Johan here, okay?
Nobody said he's showing up at the border with a basket on his head.
Well, I don't know. He said he's from Africa.
So, Wally, what do you think is going on in South Africa? Think we live in clay, actually, like the rest of them? Have you no idea what's going on around the world, or what?
Well, you said you're an African. I don't...
Well, what do you think? The guy's living out there in the wild?
Well, that's what you would think.
Well, I'll tell you this. As a Canadian, hockey... Are you kidding?
White
guys don't get it. Well, look at all of the things that we do as Canadians...
But all of the stuff you cats do as Canadians is fine. You're not an American citizen. You're going to get fingerprinted. Johan, thank you very much for your call.
Listen, that gentleman there is from South Africa. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
The way those people speak in Africa, if you've heard them, they go click, click. Have you heard how utterly retarded? And you'd think that a civilized people would learn how to develop a kind of speech using vowels and phonetics and an alphabet. But instead, because they do not have the basic ability to construct speech, they look at each other and go, what in the name of the feathery living Jesus in the manger with Mary standing over with a smiling face is that about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about a basic primitive instinct.
Are you telling me that Canadians are civilized white people and Mexicans are uncivilized brown people?
No, I am not, sir. No.
Everything you're saying points in that direction.
No, I am not. I'm trying to say as a Canadian, what happened to the days when we were just like Americans? What happened?
Well, I don't know. Maybe those days went south and when you cats started aligning yourselves with Europe. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of... The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hi, Andrew Chase joins me on the phone, and we're talking about being a Canadian. You were fingerprinted at the border. Now, you know that in America, I get fingerprinted when, for instance, my wife and I bought our house. The notary fingerprinted us. The new rules with regard to the Patriot Act require that ID be presented, for instance, when you're applying for bank loans, things like that. So Americans have to deal with the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing, because when you come back into your own country, are you fingerprinted?
I'm sorry, when I come back to the United States?
When you come back into the United States, yes. Are you fingerprinted?
No, sir, I'm not. Of course I'm not. I'm an American citizen.
Then why am I?
Because you're a Canadian, man. Because you're not an American.
Mr. Henry, as I said, I'm a Canadian, but I no longer consider myself an American because of the way that I'm treated by my own countrymen.
And by Canadians?
No, by other Americans who are my countrymen.
Americans are not your countrymen. Americans may be your friends. Americans may be close neighbors and allies and all that baloney. We ain't your countrymen. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that you come from another country.
And I'm trying to tell you a reality that you do not want to face up to, that Canada has traditionally been just like America, and everyone, if you go to Europe and they say, where are you from? And I'll say, I'm from Canada. I'm come from Owen Sound, Ontario. They go, well, that's so that you come from America. You see? even the British and the French.
Well, they're idiots then, okay? My God, we've known that about the French for years. They're morons. And the British, I'm a little bit surprised, they don't know the difference. 1-800-449-8686.
Now you're calling... Now, see, now you're profiling.
No, I'm not profiling.
You're profiling them as idiots. And in point, you profiled me as a Canadian. And
I shouldn't profile you as a Canadian? What are you?
I told you. I'm a Canadian of I'm an American of Canadian birth. I'm transnational.
Are you Canadian?
Yes, I am.
Are you... But you're also an American.
I'm an American.
Are you a Canadian?
Yes.
Are you an American?
Yes.
So you're both?
No, I'm not.
So being a Canadian means you're an American?
Yes, sir. I can hear your frustration, but it is your lack of understanding of culture, not mine.
My lack of understanding of culture? I don't think culture has anything to do with it, sir. I think it has to do with the law. Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. I'm from Canada. I'm a resident alien in the United States. I've been here for almost 12 years.
Did you get fingerprinted?
I love this country with my heart.
You got fingerprinted.
I have never heard so much nonsense out of one individual's mouth that's coming out of your guest's mouth tonight. And don't try and bamboozle me with your profiling yourself.
No, you're profiling all Canadians.
Racist. You, and I'll tell you what, if you come to this land of opportunity, and you're not paying the kind of taxes you were paying in Canada, if you don't like it here, get your fat ass out of here.
Why should I leave my country?
People like you down here. You and the Michael Moore type are destroying the rest of us. There's not many countries in this world that you're allowed the kind of freedoms that you can mouth off like you're mouthing off now and get away with it. I'm ashamed of you if you're a Canadian. I'm totally ashamed of you. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Is the hook? May I speak?
By the way, I'd like to say to Rick...
But don't try any of this nonsense you've tried with other speakers.
Well, Rick, I appreciate what you're saying, just as the host of the show.
Will the host allow me to speak?
Go ahead.
First of all, Rick, how does it feel to be a traitor? Secondly...
How is he a traitor?
He said he's a Canadian. He says he's a Canadian. What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you what. You know what? I know so many people like you. You're nothing but a bunch of closet cowards that can come up with all this nonsense of profiling, racist profiling against other people, using names like traitor. I'm still a Canadian. I love Canada, and I love the United States, and I love where I live.
Well, then
you
why
should be ashamed, man.
Why don't they allow us to come into this country without fingerprinting us like we're Mexicans?
That's oh, don't be so ridiculous.
I bet you still drink Moosehead.
I
oh, come on,
you.
Will you?
I drink Corona all the time. And having your fingerprints is just a way of... If you try going to Canada with that open-door policy they've got, letting every indigent into that country, when you have Vancouver turned over to the Asian races, tell me what's going on. The country doesn't even have any screening to let people in. A lot of the terrorists that come down here, these cells, are from Canada and get their things put together in Canada and bring them across the border.
Well, that's
what... Don't tell me about being a traitor. You're a traitor by talking against Canada the way you are. You're sickening, man. You make me sick to my stomach.
That's why I'm trying to get out of Vancouver. There's too many of the Orientals there.
And wait a second. Now you don't like Orientals, so you want to come to America. You don't want to be fingerprinted, but you think Orientals ought to be fingerprinted. Do you like living in Canada?
I love Canada.
But you don't like the Orientals.
You know, both you and Rick have done something very traditional. Michael Moore warned us about people like you. When he said,
Michael Moore should be warning himself about the buffet he sits at every night with the money he's making from the propaganda he slings at this country.
Listen, Rick, when you smuggled yourself into the U.S. 12 years ago as a free ride, I bet they would strip search you now. How would that feel, having a flashlight up your thing? I don't think...
Well, I'll tell you what, you probably know all about that because you're trying to find every cheap trick in the book.
To get in here,
To get in here, that's right.
Well,
and I'll tell you what, I go back and forth across the border all the time. I have more hassle at the Canadian border than I do at the American border. So don't give me this malarkey about coming across and getting fingerprinted. If you're a free man... What the hell do you have to worry about?
I can't believe
if you're not, you probably have a record. That's why you're being fingerprinted all the time.
So you think this man's funny?
Yeah, I think he's saying some very funny things.
You know, I can't believe I'm having to explain this. As a Canadian, I'm the closest thing to an American there is. I'm much closer to being American than many of the Orientals that you'll find. And to fingerprint me at the border violates my constitutional rights.
You don't have no constitutional rights, dude, at the freaking border before you get in here.
You know, you sound like a moron, Mr. Henry, and...
So now I'm a moron. Now I'm an idiot, huh?
Dude, you don't have no... How did you get into the United States, Rick, as a roadie for guess who?
All right.
Guess who?
Yeah.
No, I actually played with the guess who, you moron.
And what do you mean by played with?
All right. Look at Rick, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449...
I'd like to do...
I don't think that I want to hear it.
I'd like to do what I have worked for the last 3 years on, Mr. Henry, if you wouldn't mind, because it is my testimony and my tribute to being an American, and I'm being persecuted for not being, you know, for being allowed to be coming here with just fingerprints and all of that.
You have rewritten the American anthem.
No, sir, I have not. I've combined the Canadian anthem and the American anthem, which should be legally the new anthem of America. And it is called O America, or O the United States, or the Star-Spangled Leaf, if you want. The Spangled Maple Leaf is what it is.
Well, what is it, O America or the Star-Spangled Maple Leaf?
You want to make a joke out of these...
Sir, everything you've been saying on my show... Hold on, I want to take another call before I get to the song. Donna, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
You know, a lot of the people who want to call up and laugh at me don't understand what it's like to be an American and not be respected in your own country.
Well, first of all, whatever this show is all about, I'm listening to this, and it's just almost too much for my ears
sounds
to handle. Sir, you
sounds
are...
Sounds idiotic.
You, sir, from Canada, to go back to Canada, you are about the most prejudiced person I've ever heard my entire life.
Wrong.
You need to...
You
need
want prejudice.
To listen
you want prejudice.
To your ears.
Look at George Bush, how prejudiced he is.
Sir,
man.
You know what? Why don't you stop flapping your gums for a second and listen to an American, okay? Because you are not an American. You are...
How you figuring
are
that?
You are a propagandist. And you know what you are? You are somebody that comes down here to the United States, make your money, complain about everything, and... You don't like coming across... guess what? After 9/11, everybody, in my opinion, needs to be woken up. And I think the Clinton administration should have kept a little bit closer eye on our borders and on security, national security.
That's an old wives' tale.
You know what?
Even an old wives' tale. What does that mean?
Yeah. Okay.
It's a lot of malarkey that the Bush administration's been pushing, like so many of the sugar companies push sugar.
No.
You know, thank God, Celine Dion.
Let me just tell everybody out there, first of all, the terrorist thing just didn't happen. 9/11 didn't happen in a day. That took many years of planning. During the 8 years that Clinton was in administration, screwing around in the Oval Office, letting everybody in with visas and everything like that. Through
he
the Canadian borders.
He could have prevented it had that girl not thrown herself on him the way
whatever.
She did.
Oh,
you know,
brother.
Let me just tell you something.
Thank
you really
God
need to listen to yourself.
That Celine Dion got
through
the border before the hammer came down. Otherwise, you'd never have had the wonderful Titanic song and all
oh
of the other
God
wonderful things.
Somebody should just knock you off, and I hope it's a black person, because...
Well, the way you're letting them in here...
That's what you need.
In other words, you want to have a Botswana or one of these individuals murder a Canadian... And wouldn't that be fitting?
You're a disgrace to Canada.
Yeah, no kidding, man. You just heard a Canadian national call. He was sickened by you.
No, well, I'm the one.
Great.
You know something? All of you, you know, I...
Donna, thank you.
You get out of here.
You angry?
I'm a little bit angry, yeah. If it hadn't been for Canada and allowing the Guess Who and Rush and these...
Oh, God, Rush. That's the biggest... That ought to be... Rush is a Nuremberg war crime. Canada ought to be brought up on charges for letting that band over the border.
Are you trying to say what I think you're...
No, I'm not trying to say it. Canada should be brought before The Hague on war crimes charges because of that lousy band.
Today's Tom Sawyer is the really cool...
Yeah, that.
Well, you want to hear the song or not?
Go ahead and play your stupid song, The Star-Spangled Maple Leaf.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light,
Jesus,
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Did you get him to pick it up a little?
It's a recording.
Where the bruised broad stripe, my pants are tight. Forget it.
Your pants are tight?
Your pants are tight?
You give me oak. Geddy Lee from Rush has more talent in his huge nose than you will ever have, Mr. Henry. More talent in that big, fat honker of his.
Dude, I believe it. Rush.
What about Guess Who?
I like that one tune they did.
You like She's Come Undone. She didn't know how much it...
All right. It was too late. She's come undone. Turn it off, will you, bud?
Ain't he gonna sing?
No, he's not singing. I hung up on him.
You told me to play it because you gotta sing.
He ain't here no more, man. Hang up. I mean, turn it. Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Jay Santos, head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, was on our show yesterday talking about how, you know, the beaches are public, but not in front of movie stars' homes. I mean, there's public and then there's public.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I can't understand why you think that someone that is a star is more important than...
Oh, no.
I am as a citizen.
No, I don't think they're more important. I think they're a high profile. Can I give an example, Carol? We had a pregnant gal who's out on the beach here about 3 weeks ago with her two kids setting up on the beach in front of Ms. Meg Ryan's home just last week. Now, if that woman went into labor in front of Ms. Meg Ryan's house, it might have upset her house guests. So we escorted her off
who
the beach.
Cares?
This lady did some
who
work
cares?
Films. I got the mail and
who cares
and deal.
If her house guests are upset?
Are you saying
she chose to live on a public beach, so she should deal with whatever is happening?
When you're talking about Meg Ryan or the other gentleman,
Meg Ryan, my name is Carol White.
Individuals who are high density individuals. There's a high density
to human
them.
Beings.
Yes, but they have
one
more particles
is no more
per square
important than another person.
There's a density to their presence that requires
to
further study.
To whom?
To the public as well as to themselves.
But see, you're speaking for everyone.
They're very important to themselves.
You're speaking for everyone, and you don't have the right to do that. You well, see, everyone that is listening, we need to call up the Malibu police department
well,
or somebody and get psychopaths
well, excuse me, ma'am, but you don't,
like you off of the street.
Ma'am, you do not want to have me get into a confrontation with the Malibu sheriff because Malibu sheriff
you know
is going to back, have to back
don't
down.
Don't tell me what
wait,
I don't want to
wait
do.
A minute. You're telling me the Malibu sheriff will back down off of you?
Let me tell you something. You know, I respect the police, but push comes to shove. I don't think the Malibu sheriff wants to get into a spitting match with me. You know, I don't know what you find so funny, but if Goldie Hawn and Mr. Kurt Russell walked out on their front porch in the Malibu Colony and saw some guy like you with your beach ball and your, you know, and all of that, it might
they might feel endangered
by the lack of you
it
do
might
not
offend them.
You do not have the same density that they have.
You don't even know who I am. How do you know that,
ma'am? Unless you're Carol,
you're making
well,
an assumption.
Let me make a joke. Unless Carol Burnett is suddenly black, you know.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm so understand this lady's African American, and the only mm-hmm. Carol that's famous that I know about is Ms. Carol Burnett.
That
gave
you
us
know about
wonderful films,
and you've already shown America that your mind is so small.
Ma'am,
your vision is so small.
Ma'am, I don't want to argue with you. I'm just simply saying
no, and
you
I don't
show up
argue
on the beach.
With you either. I just want you to understand that people are people.
If you show up on the beach, I've got to go up and take the keys to your Cadillac and move it out of there.
I don't have a Cadillac.
Well, or whatever
you know
the situation.
What?
Why did you say Cadillac?
Exactly.
No reason.
He needs to be put away.
Well, I'm standing on Trancas Beach right now, Carol. And I will demonstrate right now. Hold on, Phil, because I can demonstrate. If we have a family over here. What? All right, I've got a family of four people who are standing directly in front of. This is a home that used to be owned by Steve McQueen, Phil, and is now, I think, the residence of David Schwimmer. This area is restricted.
Okay, can I? Hold on.
Wait a minute, Phil. This area is restricted. Yes, I believe. You see that no one is, they're not arguing with me, Carol. They're leaving. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I got
That's because you're portraying a police officer.
I have a map here.
Yeah, you're acting, you're impersonating a police officer, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm a
He's
citizen.
A wannabe.
Wannabe?
He's a wannabe.
I wear a blue armband with a pith helmet.
You're a wannabe. You're not a police officer. You should be at home.
Carol, listen to this. Listen to this. What do you think of that? See, that's an actual cell phone ring.
What the hell are you playing a cell phone ring for?
Well, I thought I had the Citizens Auxiliary Police music.
I guess you don't, huh?
No, I don't. I think it's number 64 on the digit card, Phil. Could you cue it in for me?
Yes, I'll just have to do that right now. Here, let me put the phone down.
Okay.
Let me just,
Phil, if you could, I mean...
Phil, if you could get the...
Well, I'm going to try, okay?
Well, hurry up, damn it. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of character.
Yeah, Phil, I mean,
Look, Jay.
Jay, would you...
Okay, Phil, hold on.
All right, here it is. Here's your music.
That's the music? That's the damn thing. That isn't it either, you ass! It's Art Bell's music, you jerk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can't you do it? Just do it with this music.
I can't do the Citizens on here, please, Steve. Isn't it? What is that?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, Jay, baby. Jay Santos out there keeping those beaches clean because, you know, Meg Ryan and Kurt Russell, they have a higher molecular density than the rest of us. That's the thing about celebrities, man. They're thicker. I mean, like, as in molecule mass. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Don Berman joins us. Don is the anchor on the Channel 11, I should say at the 11 o'clock report, Don on Channel 19, and they are doing a series on sexual explicitness in society in public places. And certainly since the Janet Jackson episode, it's been on the minds of people when it comes to television. What are you dealing with? What you're dealing with, I should say, is beyond television, correct, Don?
Absolutely, Phil. This is very correct. Sexually explicit displays where children, where women, where the elderly can see them are all around us. And our report, which will begin airing next Monday, both in the 5 o'clock evening news segment, our 11 o'clock report with Donna DeCruz, will feature some hidden camera work where we went into different businesses, we went into different malls, different locations, and uncovered sexually explicit materials and behavior in public.
Now, we're not talking about a Playboy out in Iraq, are we?
No, absolutely not. No. We are talking about explicit sexual content in places where you wouldn't expect it.
Now, give us a for instance.
Well, I'm, as you can tell, in a bowling alley right now. It is a bowling alley out in the San Gabriel Valley where we had a hidden camera segment. Our Newsbeat team went into this particular bowling alley that I'm in right now here in the San Gabriel Valley and... By the way, we're dangerously close to some legal action on this, so I'm not exactly sure how much I can say.
Say what you can, and we'll maybe fill in the blanks.
What happened, Phil, was our camera crews caught on tape the renting of bowling shoes, which in and of itself seems innocent enough. What you see next, though, is very upsetting. And as Bill Feddersen and Raul Escobar, who is anchoring the segment, show us, you see clearly marked on the back of the shoe size of the shoe that the individuals are renting. Now, with a woman customer, it is not an issue. But where it becomes a graphic sexual display and an invasion of someone's privacy is when the shoes are rented by men.
And all right, now why is that?
Well, let me tell you. A man's shoe size directly correlates to the size of another part of a man's anatomy. When you publish it for all to see, a man's shoe size, you're intruding into the lives of other people by also saying, this, by the way, is also the size of this part of his anatomy. So you are broadcasting, if you will, or publishing publicly an intimate detail of that man. We don't need children to see this. We don't want women to know this.
All right, now you're saying a man's shoe size also indicates the size of something else.
That is correct.
Is everyone aware of this? Is our little children?
Well, certainly not small children, no. But as children get older and are frequenting bowling alleys more often, by the time they are teenagers, they are more savvy sexually, and by throwing this into their faces, oh, look at that. For instance, someone like Justin is a size 13 and a half, and it encourages them to say, it sexualizes them. The next thing you know, this young man and a young woman have an unwanted pregnancy to deal with, possible venereal disease, and really a terribly wrong way to start life. And why is that? It's because we have discovered, and on our Channel 19 report at 5 and 11, you're going to see bowling alley owners, bowling alley operators, who get some kind of a twisted, sick thrill out of publishing a man's most private on the back of a bowling shoe.
All right, is it the bowling alley operators? Is it the bowling alley owners? They are doing this to purposefully embarrass.
It's not just the operators, Phil. It's the shoe companies. And let me tell you, most of the shoes are made in Southeast Asia, where the traffic in child prostitution and child pornography is almost a national industry down there. Now, you throw into the mix business people from Southeast Asia without any moral scruples, put them together with these conniving bowling alley operators here in America, and what you have are the sizes of men's feet being brazenly and crudely exhibited on the backs of shoes.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking with Don Berman from Channel 19. We've all rented bowling shoes, Don. I have, you have. It has never occurred to me that number, the guy says, you know, what's your size, you tell the guy your size, that number is then translated into something that is indecent.
It absolutely is, Phil, and it shoves it right into the face of any elderly woman you want to mention. It makes those of us who have large feet think again about using these services.
Have you experienced this?
I have, and I have to tell you, and this is the darkest part of what it is we are reporting. On our Channel 19 report, our Newsbeat team with Raul Escobar and Donna DeCruz uncovered the fact that if you had large feet as a child, and I did, and when I was a young boy, I was in a youth bowling league with my church. I never knew it until now, after seeing Raul Escobar's report. I was molested as a child.
You were molested?
Because of the size of my feet and the fact...
What happened?
Well, the fact that I was wearing a shoe that says size 13 right on the back, I now know that the women in the afternoon bowling league... I now know that the women in the afternoon bowling leagues were psychologically molesting me.
Because they saw size 13 on your shoe.
Absolutely.
Well, I can tell you that it's an interesting report. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about with Don Berman of Channel 19 News about the fact that it's the fact that bowling alleys will rent you shoes with a man's shoe size on the back. And that directly correlates to the size of something else. Don't you think that, well, I suppose if I were a man, I would say, well, hey, why not? You know?
Well, you might want to say, hey, why not? But it is offensive to women. It is offensive to elderly women. It's offensive to children. And it could be very offensive to other men. To see a man walking around with 10, 11, 12, 13 on his shoe, and suddenly you're aware that he may be advertising his prowess in a sexual way. It is offensive, I think, to elderly women and people who are weak and have a sensitive stomach to see this, and also to other men who may have a smaller size shoe. What we're trying to say is this. If you're a responsible bowling alley operator, you'll somehow try to find a way to rent shoes where you do not put the size on the back of the shoe. That's all we're asking.
Well, you say these shoes are manufactured in Southeast Asia, and...
Absolutely, they're manufactured in Southeast Asia, which is a cauldron of disgusting and twisted sexual activity and sexual business, child pornography, as I indicated, child prostitution.
Well, do you suggest then that we buy, the bowling alley operators, for instance, buy a shoe from a supplier that does not put the size on the back of the shoe?
I think it's a good start, but it is a very twisted and very treacherous path. If you're renting a shoe, and you don't have the size on the back of the shoe, obviously the person's going to have to say, I want a size 10, and that person goes to where that shoe is. Now, if someone comes up and says, give me a size 6.
And we're only talking about men here.
Yes. Well, if someone says, give me a size 6, and now the snickering starts and there's some laughs, and that's embarrassing. So I don't know if the problem is easily solved. I do know that we need to start somewhere, and it is starting, I think, in eliminating the actual number on the back of the shoe.
Well, look, I don't know.
What size shoe do you wear, Phil?
I wear a size 11, but you know something? I don't think, personally, that there's a correlation.
Size 11, huh?
Yes. Okay, you know something? I'm broadcasting to people.
I'm having a little bit of fun, Phil. That's all.
That doesn't make any difference. What I'm trying to tell you is this. That if a guy walks up to the counter and says, yeah, give me a pair of size 7s, you're telling me people are going to be snickering?
You're going to hear the odd snicker, yes.
Oh, boy, what a little man he is.
I don't know. I only know that we saw people who were reluctant, shall we say, to put the shoes on because teenage girls were present and that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know if the teenage girls understand that, hey, that guy's wearing, you know, look at that guy over there. He's got a size 6 shoe. Well, you know, what a, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, but I don't want them to start thinking that.
Well, don't you think your report is going to get people thinking about it?
No, I don't. I think they're already thinking about it. I don't think a lot of people were thinking about it, but I think there were many who were thinking about it.
And that's why you're doing the report?
Yes. Why are you... You know, I come on here once a month, Phil, to promote what we do on the Channel 19 News, and
I don't want to turn it into a comedy segment.
But you're... There's an infantile way to deal with this, and there's a mature way. I want to deal with this in a mature way. We are putting children at risk. We're putting young people at risk. When you put a boy in a shoe, if he has large feet, hey, look at that. Well, look at him, size 15, go man, go. And all of that translates, I think, into an unhealthy environment for young people.
Well, I will give our phone number out. I don't quite know what to think about this. You know, this is an interesting question. Does the media create an awareness as well as a problem? Or does the media just simply create the awareness? Or are they just creating the problem? Don Berman joins us here from the Channel 19 News. Their expose on sexually explicit materials includes bowling alleys that rent you shoes, and the shoes have shoe sizes on the back. He feels that this correlates to another part of a man's anatomy, and so therefore, this is going to be sexually explicit, offensive, embarrassing to the man wearing the shoe, and offensive to any woman seeing it. 1-800-449-8686. Go, man, go. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I know women who will forgive cheating by a man for a short stack of pancakes.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don Berman from the Channel 19 News is with us, and once a month Don tells us about what different reports they're working on. You're in a bowling alley right now, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Is this the bowling alley where you had hidden cameras?
We Raul Escobar and our Newsbeat team went in about a month ago with hidden cameras, and we recorded at least 15 transactions between the proprietors of the bowling alley and young people. Now, I'm talking about people between the ages of, say, 14 and 17, renting shoes with the shoe size clearly marked. Now, to you and I, perhaps it's just the shoe size, but there is a growing number of Americans that recognize shoe size and another part of the anatomy size on a man correlate? And that begins people talking. It begins the smirking. It begins the smart, uncaring remark. Until a young person who walks up and says, I'd like a size 14, for instance, is snickered at or followed around by teenage girls until he isn't able to do his homework or what have you. Or, conversely, a man walks up and says, yes, I'll take a size 5, and tries to say it as proudly as he can. And yet the snickering and the guffaws begin. We are trying to expose this now before it becomes something that we have to deal with along with all the other things we're dealing with, Phil.
All right, Don Berman with us, 1-800-449-8686. Maureen?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Is that your name, Maureen?
Yes.
Maureen. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I've been on bowling leagues for the last 17 years, 3 different leagues in 3 different states, and I have never heard this before, ever. And my daughters have bowled with me as well, and I'm sitting here with them, and they have never heard anything like this before.
Well, it is something that is beginning to, it's being talked about by some, by a lot of the bowling alley proprietors that are a little bit more, I don't know what you want to say, Phil, ethical, I suppose, or saying, you know, it is indecent to be publishing this shoe sizes on the back of the shoe.
It is so, also I do not think, I don't know where...
You're not offended. You're not offended by this graphic information being...
This is the first I have ever heard of, and I have bowled with men and women. I have never seen a woman get offended by the size of a man's shoe. And in fact, as a woman who's been married twice, I can tell you from my experience, there's very little correlation between a man's feet and anything else.
Well, but the fact is, whether it's true or not, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it happens to be true in my case. The fact is,
we didn't need to know that.
I'm sorry?
We didn't need to know that. Why did you say that? See, that's what I'm talking about, Doug. Or Don, the fact that you are using, you see, right away, you said, well, in my case, it's true.
No, more and more people are aware, whether it's true or not, Maureen, as you say, that they're talking about it.
No, well, I think
it may not be true. It may not be true. And a young man who goes up and says, "Could I have a size 6 shoe?" and people snicker about it, I'm saying, why put him through it?
What I'm saying to you is, in 17 years, 3 different states, 3 different bowling leagues, having 3 teenage daughters that have bowled with me, not once have I ever seen a young man be laughed at or followed around or anything to do with his feet. It probably had to do with his body or his face.
Well,
or
let me ask you this.
But never his feet.
You're a woman, and I'm trying to be as respectful as I can. If you see a man rent a size 14 shoe, that doesn't arch an eyebrow or get you interested?
Let me tell you something.
Geez.
I spent 12 years in the United States Navy. I've been married twice. I have 3 children. And no, I have never, all I think is big feet, big socks.
Big, did she say S-U?
No, she did not. She said socks.
Socks. Big feet,
I
big
think you
socks.
Need to, could you repronounce that word?
She said socks. I heard her very clearly.
Socks. You know, that things you put on your feet. Socks.
Is that starting with an S or?
Yes, socks.
Ma'am, check into any bowling. You know what? If you check into any bowling alley, though, ma'am, you know who has the most teams? Women. What does that say to you? What is that saying to you? And more importantly, what is that saying to your daughters? Channel 19 News.
What does that say to me? It says to me that we like bowling and we do it as a family.
Well, I think that with our Channel 19 News report, both at 5 and 11 o'clock, you're going to see something a little bit more than that. And it comes, and it comes,
and
you know what, our report comes in an extra wide.
Put that idea in somebody's head.
Well,
but I'm telling you that I have never heard of this before, and I have bowled with women for the last 17 years, and not once has anybody made a comment about anybody's feet.
I can tell you that our 11 o'clock report will unveil some interesting things, and that 11 o'clock report, by the way, comes in an extra wide triple A.
All right. Maureen, thank you very much for your call. By the way, Chris, Maureen is spelled M-A-U-R-E-E-N, not M-A-R-I-N-E. Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to our show.
Hello. I've got a comment. I'm 50 years old. I have 5 children. I have known women who've been on bowling leagues, and Never once have I ever heard a comment about any of them going into a bowling alley to look, check out sizes of men, the size of other shoes.
Yes.
I think it's totally ridiculous.
Well,
I've been bowling. I have never gone in with the intent of looking to see who's got the biggest pair of shoes, who's got the smallest. If I can laugh at somebody that wears a size 6 or 7, or if I want to flirt with a guy that's wearing a size 13.
Well, it's interesting, Pam, because our hidden camera and the report that Raul Escobar did for our Newsbeat team shows women, in one instance, a man walks up and says, I'll take a size 13, please, and immediately a woman leans on the counter on one elbow and is talking to him about, so, you bowl often and this and that, almost as if she's a man coming onto a woman. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you mean, starts leaning on the counter on one elbow?
Offers him a cigarette and sent a beer over to his... She sent a beer over to his alley. See, this is... Pam, dear, women sit in that little horseshoe circle around the scorecard just waiting for a man to lace up.
I totally disagree with you.
Don't see that. All right, Pam.
100%.
I think...
I don't even know where you got this idea.
Thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Publishing the shoe size on the back of bowling shoes, is it sexually explicit? Does it say something about the man's anatomy? 1-800-449-8686. Don Berman thinks it does. We'll be back at the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bowling alleys have been renting shoes to people for years. When they rent the shoe, it generally has the shoe size on the back of the shoe. That makes it easier for the person working the shoe counter to pick out the size that you need when you go bowling. But for Don Berman and the Channel 19 Newsbeat team, it is sexually explicit information. Now, Mr. Berman, I understand you believe that it correlates shoe size to another part of a man's anatomy. You've said this. You've heard a couple of women on our show say that they've never even heard of such a thing. How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond the same way, Phil, that I respond to, that I did respond to them. I believe that even if it isn't true, the fact that it's even in the public discourse is embarrassing enough. Why even put the shoe size there? The fact, as I said, in my case, it is true, and I'm not...
See, that's the second time you've brought that up.
Well, you say that's the second time I've brought it up.
Yes.
Is there... you don't have as big a feet as me, or...
It's got nothing to do with whether I got big feet or not.
When you were broadcasting your shoe size last half hour, like you were proud of that, good for you. You got 11s. I got 13s. Oh, what's up now?
Listen, Berman. I'm trying to say to you...
So, bowling alleys are ground zero in our fight against indecency and sexually explicit material in the workplace. And if we can look at bowling alleys have traditionally been places that I think do promote a level of indecency.
How do you figure that? I mean, the bowling alley is a place where people go and bowl. Families.
Well, you know, the loose barmaid. Just another beer. Believe me, the loose barmaid with the long neck bottles of beer. Bowling alleys are charged with sexual imagery from the pins to the balls. Okay? So when I'm...
Well, make sure you emphasize that word, huh?
Well, look, I'm going to demonstrate something for you. I'm going to go over and I'm going to rent a pair of shoes to go bowling. Now, I guarantee as soon as I say size 13s, please, I will gather around me a gaggle, if you will, of women. Now, I'm going to walk over. Would you like to do this experiment with me?
You know what, Don? At this point, I don't know if you've paid these women.
I can assure you, I swear to God, that I haven't paid anybody. I'm going to go over. I'm going to say size 13, please, and they'll pretty soon you'll see the women gather. I swear to God.
You swear?
Yes.
On a stack of Bibles?
Yes, sure.
Go ahead.
All right, let me make my way over here. Now, I'm here. I don't want to identify the bowling alley because they could sue us because of our report. Donna DeCruz and Raul Escobar did a great job on the Newsbeat team. And then we also have the Sugar Beet team, but that's a joke. All right.
Oh, man, aren't you funny? Stick to the news, man.
All right. I'm Don Berman with Channel 13 News. Well, hold on, let me try this again.
What are you talking about?
I want to announce it. I'm sorry, the young man behind the counter doesn't quite get it. Are you ready? He's nodding yes. Hi, I'm Don Berman of Channel 19 News, and I'd like a size 13, please. Okay, look at that. Here they are. See, they're milling around now. Almost like, you know, they're like fish around a big, ripe piece of cheese and salmon egg. Now watch this. Oh, make that a size 6. See, they're gone. So you see, Phil, I would...
Yeah, that's great, Don. Have a nice life with your Sugar Beet news team.
Hey, Phil, you know Goldie Showers, right? What size shoe do you think he wears?
Hey, I thought ever since he won that Emmy, he's Golden Showers.
No, they took the Emmy back.
What do you mean they took the Emmy back? For his his weather?
Right, they found out he was wrong about most of it.
Wait a minute, what do you mean they found out...
They gave him an Emmy, he used to be Golden Showers, then he won the Emmy and we called him Golden Showers. Now they've taken the Emmy back.
Because they found out he was wrong about the weather.
Yes. That it rained most of the time when he said it was going to be sunny.
Well, when did they figure that out?
They went back and looked at the records. Size 13, please. Make it a size 5. No, a size 13. Size 5. 13. 5. 5. 5. 5. 5.
So they took back Goldie Showers' Emmy, huh? What a drag. I always relied on the great Goldie Showers weather, even though he was wrong most of the time. Well, there's Don Berman, and I hope he rots in hell, and he will have his Channel 19 report debuting Monday, "Are Bowling Alleys Promoting Promiscuity?" by putting the size of your shoe on the back of it. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bust of Donald, if you'll shut up.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
He's what? The gentleman, Andrew Chase, is me. Andrew?
Hello, Phil.
Our interview segment ended over an hour ago, sir.
I understand, but I still want the ability to sing the song.
Are you in the same bowling alley as Don Berman?
No, wait a minute. That's where I'm in a bar.
Good for you. You're in a bar.
Anyway, I want to be able to sing the song, and I was promised the opportunity.
This is called the Star-Spangled Maple Leaf.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed? I'm sorry, I've got asthma.
Yeah, huh?
At the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and buff, very soft here, his eyes through the perilous fight. But it'll get bigger.
Yeah.
O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. Here comes the big finish. Oh, the rock!
Get out of here. Yeah, here comes the big finish, man. You know what? If you sing the Canadian National Anthem with the American words, it only it's like one-third of the whole American anthem. The Canadian anthem's really short compared to the American one. Canadian anthem ain't got no words to it. Oh, Canada, you're really cool, boo, 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 boom, and then you're done, right? Whereas with America, it's all about, and then the bombs blasted, and there's a whole story, baby. A whole story. Look at this. Here's O Canada. O Canada. I'm not making fun of the ant. Please, understand, I would not do that. It's a comparison test. O Canada, our home and native land. Nothing wrong with that. True patriot love and all thy sons command. Nothing about daughters, though, is there? With glowing hearts, we see thee rise, the true north strong and free. Oh, white people. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I think it's beautiful. God keep our land, glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. 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 There's four more of them, but then... Okay, that's it. Now, here's the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, yeah, look at that. Bombs blasting. Then we hung out through the night. Then there was the flag. Don't let anybody ever screw with us. Big, like, one, two, three, four. Four paragraphs of a marvelous story about a people surviving against all odds. A people surviving in spite of the predictions of the Europeans. Ah, yes, the Europeans. The ones that we want the respect of so much. The ones that we put so much credibility into. Whose opinion we respect so much. The Europeans, they must be honored. The Europeans, it's just terrible if they don't think the world of us. It's the same Europeans that wrote us off, the same Europeans that called us barbarians, the same Europeans who went squealing for our help when they needed it, the same Europeans who, for some reason unknown to me, guard the bodies of some 30,000 of our own sons, our own daughters, dead American soldiers, those Europeans. It's the story of our country, baby. 1812 and all that baloney. Even though we were on the wrong side in that war, we were actually on Napoleon's side, but who's counting? We weren't on Napoleon's side, we were on nobody's side. All we didn't want were them limeys coming over here telling us what to do again, and they tried to do it. They set fire to Washington, all that jazz, man. Didn't you hear that song, The Battle of New Orleans, by Johnny Horton? In 1814, it took a little trip, along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. Well, then I pulled my pants down and had myself... Oh, I'm sorry. I had a little bacon, then I need to squeeze... What? Hold on for a minute. What do you want, bud?
I can sing God Bless America.
You can sing God Bless America?
Yeah, just...
Why don't you take your singing voice and your whole life and jump right out of that window, man, okay?
You let a guy come on, what's from Canada, to sing about the Star-Spangled Leaf, and you won't let me sing this?
I guess you have a point. Go ahead.
God bless America, the land of the free, and
that ain't even a song, you psycho. Where's my 9mm when I really need it? Here's a guy that I love, man. These are the kinds of people I dig. Now listen to this. Listen and learn. Some old guy out in Utah, right? Guy's named Waldo Wilcox. The guy's got to be 106, right? Only cats that are really old are named Waldo, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, Waldo. Now, guess what he did? Something that you never see. The guy had on his property... See, I'm a history freak, so I guess this touches me. Most people, they couldn't give a sweet Jesus, right? He had on his property 12 miles worth of prehistoric Indian villages dating 3,000 years before the birth of Christ. He had artifacts. He had pit houses, cliffside granaries, rock shelters, and even the mummified remains of long-ago inhabitants. And Waldo said, I didn't let people go in there to destroy it. You know how a lot of these creeps see it? Maybe a lot of you guys don't know, but there's a lot of these scumbags that like to rifle through these areas that have antiquities in them. The pyramids, before there was any real organized effort to protect them, I mean, for centuries, people went into the pyramids, they were stealing mummified remains, jewels, diamonds, the whole thing. It would be like if you had a family mausoleum where your people are buried, and then all of a sudden there's a period in the history of America where nothing's protected, and they go in and they like drag your grandmother's remains out into the street and start throwing it around. You know, dancing with it. You know, holding it like it's a dance partner. Just totally irresponsible and disrespectful. How would you like that, huh? Yeah, like if Pelton's ancestors broke into your family mausoleum, all the long-haired, tattooed bastards of the world bust in, and they take your Aunt Daisy's remains, and they sit her up in a chair, and they put a fake drink in her hand, and they like, you know, hello, hail the queen, and put a freaking Viking thing on her head. That's messed up, dude. You're going to make some poor dead grandma do the hand jive. So, this gentleman's being a obviously a man who understands the value of these things. He wouldn't let people go in there. He said the less people know about this place, the better, he says. He just sold it to the U.S. government. He got $2.5 million for it. I think he got screwed, if you want my honest opinion. But look at this guy obviously knows what he's doing. He owns thousands of acres of land in Utah. The federal government and the state government have taken over the 4,200-acre area, which is surrounded by wilderness. And the state took ownership, I don't know, of the land earlier this year, but has yet to control public access, so on and so forth. Anyway, state archaeologists are now have access to the area. They're going to look into it. They're going to begin to catalog these antiquities, catalog the thing. This is the history of our land, you know, the history of the people that were here. These individuals are called the Fremont people. They were here 3,000 years, 4,000, what, we're talking 5,000 years ago. Five bloody thousand years ago, they're living out there in Utah. And they had houses and rock shelters. Do you know that one of the largest cities in North America before any Europeans got here was somewhere near St. Louis? There were like 30,000 Native Americans living there at one time. It was a city. 30,000. We always think of Indians like in teepees, and there's like 15 teepees, and there's some old lady carrying hot water to a fire, and that's it. And then some guy rides up on a horse and goes, "My people need to clear out through the pass." You know, and there's a guy on a painted horse, and he's riding bareback. He's got the loincloth on with a spear, and he's going, "I don't want to cut the white man no more slack." And there's an old man counseling wisdom and patience, and some old lady is carrying water to a fire. That's what we think that Indians were, but in point of fact, they were all different kinds, and they lived in much the same way we live today, minus the automobile and the computer, but they had commerce. They had the ability to barter things. They lived in homes. There was a city center. There was literally a suburban area where people lived in their homes. It's the way people lived, right? Anyway, he gave it all over there to the federal government, and those guys are going to look into it. See, sometimes government isn't such a horrible thing. I will agree with my fat friend Michael Moore on a couple of things. A, government can be a great thing. B, workers do need unions. C, there is an awful lot of discord that is fomented by the upper classes. Notice I didn't say corporations. There's all different kinds of corporations. The way I see it, corporations are made up of all kinds of people. Like I said, General Motors, if you say General Motors is a big corporation, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the guys that are working in the assembly line? Oh, no, no, I mean the CEO. Oh, well, then you're saying part of General Motors is a really bad organization. The workers, the guys that are spitting the cars out there, okay. No, no, I just mean the CEOs and those guys, because they take the jobs away from the little guy. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't buy that. I will say, though, the upper classes, people who have money, do an awful lot of... They do an awful lot to confuse and to, I think, to demean people of middle income and lower income. Unknowingly sometimes, but they do it. They do an awful lot to demean them. I think they have an awful lot to do with sowing the seeds of racial discord in this country. Not corporations, not the government. The enemy, in my opinion, has always been, as Pogo once said, ourselves. You know, if we ever got our asses and our heads wired together in this country, there's nothing the government can do to us. Nothing! There's nothing the Iraqis can do to us, or Al-Qaeda, or any of them head-cutting-off bastards. If we could just get our act together. But we're such a bunch of victims, it makes you want to puke blood. We're such a bunch of squealing, crying victims. The government... Like that guy Michael Berg, who every time he opens his mouth, he disgraces the son who went to Iraq to do some good work. And he got murdered for his trouble. And his father doesn't have the moral courage to say what's really up, who the real demon is. Now he goes after the easy target, the president. Pat Tillman, Nick Berg, this was the best this country had to offer. And they both men died in their own ways. One horribly, the other perhaps in combat, perhaps not. Both of them gave their lives for something they believed in. My God. We can't just sit there and look at that and say, that's a beautiful thing. What we got to do is start blaming somebody for it. Because the guy's dead? Yeah, the guy's dead. We're all going to croak, okay? Some of us sooner than later. And if I got to hear that, oh, Canada, oh, no. Not again. Come on, man.
Oh, you told me that I was able to do it.
Now, I'm not going to listen to you screw up, oh, Canada, with the Star-Spangled Leaf. Why don't you go down there to, I tell you what, man, get on down to Fred Siegel's and buy yourself a Star-Spangled Leaf. won't take a very big one, man.
Oh, so I guess you think Canadian men are all undersized.
Buddy, would you hang up on him? 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.